Time to check in on the legislative session. Time to welcome in State Representative Mark Wright from Covington. Mark, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Brian. Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. First of all, thank you for carving out the time this morning. I know, look, during the session, I know there's a million different things going on, probably a million better things you could be doing than yapping with me. So thank you for hopping on board.
Well, no, it's a good time. I appreciate it.
Let's dive in. Before we get to some of your bills, can we start off with just your general overview of where things are at right now during the session?
It's moving very quickly. Yep. A couple of us were talking yesterday about just sort of amazed how fast it is. You know, next week would be basically halfway through. I think the big issues really are this expenditure cap and spending and things like that, and whether or not there'll be some, conflict over that. But I think for the most part, it's moving kind of quickly. I'm sure we're going to have some flashpoints in the next couple of weeks, with some of the more high-profile bills and all. But going quickly, I think people are ready to kind of get in and get out and go campaign or whatever they have to do.
Yes, because they do have to go and campaign because it is an election year. That being said, though, Mark, I've heard so many different, talking heads, pundits, experts, whatever, say you're not going to see a whole lot get done this year because nobody wants to really rattle too many cages or rock the boat too much in an election year. As a voter, I find that very disturbing. As somebody who has an interest in politics, give me a reason to vote for you, not you took a million reasons to duck away from losing my vote. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, look, I think that's kind of a split on that, right? Because clearly you got people who are going to file bills and try to pass bills that are controversial that help them get reelected in the fall. And then, yeah, you've got others who are, kind of risk averse and don't want to take any chances and just kind of want to quietly get the job done. I mean, look, to a certain extent, it's hard not to sympathize with that. It's been a pretty eventful term, right? Four years of this.
Oh yeah.
There's something to be said about, some competence in getting the job done, balancing budgets, putting some money away, that type of thing. So, I'm not totally against the idea, but I get what you're saying. You're exactly right. And that's kind of my mentality too.
Yeah. Scared money don't pay. At least that's what they tell you. That's what they tell you at the blackjack table. So
right.
I don't know if it transfers. Hey, you had a couple bills that were heard this week. I know you put a lot of effort into fighting crime this time around. What went down with a few of yours this week?
The two bills I have related to the murders in Covington actually got deferred. We're going to come back. Truth is, I've been talking to one of the victims, one of the victim's daughter, and she actually wants to attend and potentially testify a little bit. And we just need a little time. Criminal justice has an unbelievable amount of bills on the agenda. I had been talking with the chair, Joe Marino, about, trying to accommodate the schedule. And he's got, some tough scheduling to do. I mean, he's got a lot of bills to work through.
We have, it is a fiscal session, and everybody gets five bills on top of the fiscal bills. And it looks like of those five bills, the majority of them were falling into the crime space. Mark, hindsight being 2020, would it ever be worth it to have a special session just on crime?
Ooh, that's a great question. I imagine, given what we talked about risk averse versus trying to do things to get voted for, that'd be a pretty contentious vote. I just don't see enough people wanting to do that. There's a lot of people that would be interested in it, so you're not far off there. But I think, listen, criminal justice reform from what, 6-7 years ago, it was right before I got into the legislature, mm-hmm. has always been a little contentious, right? A lot of people who supported it think it's the best thing we could have done, and the people who didn't or who came later don't like it. They point to crime statistics now. I can't really say I can go either way on the statistics. We do have a crime issue in the state. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. But as far as the bills that were passed related to the criminal justice reform, I just don't know enough to tell you yes or no on that. But there's definitely a crime issue in the state, and people want to address it. I mean, you see the governor's candidate bringing it up. And look, I mean, it needs to be addressed. If you don't have some basic public safety in the state and in communities, you're not going to get anything else. You're certainly not going to see investments for jobs and things like that. So it's an issue for sure.
Well, yeah, and I know it varies based off of where you are in the state. I mean, you know, you come in from Covington, you have somebody walking up and down. I don't know, where were they at? Were they on Jefferson? Were they on Janky? Walking up and down, banging on doors, and eventually find and kill a priest and a retired priest and a secretary. That's a big deal in Covington. I mean, in Baton Rouge, it's just like it's a Tuesday. But, I mean, it's just it to the point now where everyone's eyes are open all around the state, and it's like, what can we actually get done on a statewide level?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, so much of it focuses on New Orleans, Baton Rouge. I mean, look, Covington and St. Tammany itself has had some issues, particularly that really high-profile murder, and that's horrendous in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I'm not confident that we've had the overall broad crime concerns that you see, you know, across the lake and things like that. That's a great question. I don't know. I know, you know, some bills are being put through the process that people say could help. You know, for example, we just passed a bill out of the House yesterday related to bulletproof vests for police officers across the state. I know there's, you know, a lot of other things have to do basically with the process itself. I mean, I think that's the argument around the state from the more conservative people like myself is that you're not seeing DAs prosecute what needs to be prosecuted. You're seeing some hands tied. So there are things I think that could be done. But let's face it, it won't be until the next governor comes in, assuming there's a will there, to do something like maybe a special session to address some big things. But I think we'll see some ideas come up in the next 6 months.
We're talking with State Representative Mark Wright about the ongoing legislative session. All right, let's shift gears here a little bit, Mark, and talk about taxes. I know you have a bill, and I apologize. I should have dug in on this one beforehand to see where it was at along the process. You have a bill that would kind of simplify income taxes or level out rates.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been my pet idea for a long time. I really don't like progressive tax systems. We've had one for years when it comes to income and corporate income. We're an outlier with corporate income. We've got this severance tax that harms businesses as well. And so I think, you know, my seatmate, Richard Nelson, is running for governor, and he's talking about eliminating the income tax. There's a lot of other people who are doing that as well. I think that's a really tough step. Mm-hmm. My goal in filing these bills was simply to show that, look, we could take a step halfway there by implementing flat rates at the corporate and the individual level. And, if things go well, then you can start looking at eliminating income tax.
Can we talk about Richard's income tax bill real quick? Because
sure.
I got to tell you, I'm still a little bit bitter. I mean, it got like an hour's worth of discussion in Ways and Means, and now it's gone. Is that it for that bill? I mean, are we done with it?
I mean, I think that shows you it doesn't have the votes. He knows that. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a fact. I think, look, outside of criminal justice, the other committee that sits on a ton of bills is the Ways and Means Committee.
Yeah.
They had that study pub committee over the, you know, over the break, went through a lot of information. But I think people realize that if you want to take that step, you're going to need everybody on board, including a governor. You're going to need to do a lot of things to make that happen. And that's why I think a lot of people like myself just think that'd be a great place to go. But right now, there's so much more you got to do with it to make it happen. I think that's what you see is just, you know, hey, I think he deferred it knowing it was going to go down in all likelihood. He didn't tell me that. I'm pretty confident that's what happened. But I get what you're saying. You want to see all this stuff debated and voted on. And I think what you see at the end of a term, right, is that everybody kind of knows where everybody is on issues, you know, except for a small percentage. So that's probably what happened, right?
Yeah, and so this is going to be part of the peeling of the onion, as it were, in that there are so many different things that make our state out of whack when it comes to how we tax ourselves, but there's also so many things that leave us very comfortable in where we are, homestead exemption probably being the biggest one, and a lack of trust by the populace it's not a knock on the current legislature. It's just who we've been in Louisiana for too long. The idea that in order to get rid of the income tax, you've got to lower, if not eliminate, the homestead exemption. And the number of voters who say, whoa, 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 what order are we doing this in, right? you're gonna take away the money I'm saving before giving me promised savings on the back end. I've been around too long. I know that's not how this is gonna play.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That is one of the things that is just perfect explanation of why it's such a challenge. I mean, ultimately, to get there, you got to have two things underlying everything. You got to have job growth. We don't have that. Okay. We just don't. We don't have an income and population, so where your revenue is starting to pick up. And we really haven't had a lot of cost containment, right? You're going to need, you know, 4 or 5 years of trimming that budget in places where it can be and limiting things so that you won't need the revenue that you need right now or the percentage of revenue that you need right now to balance the budget. Cause that's ultimately, you know, that's the law, right? We've got to balance the budget in Louisiana. Thank God. But you know, I mean, if we didn't have to, we'd have some issues, right?
We'd have a lot more fun. That would be sure. we're talking with State Representative Mark Wright about the ongoing legislative session. Back to your two bills about income taxes, though. If you would, please, just recap what they... Because it's one's for personal and estates and trusts, and the other is for corporate income taxes. Bring everybody up to speed on what they do specifically.
The personal income basically implements a flat rate of 4%. Right now, we've got this graduated system from, you know, some people under a certain amount pay nothing, and then you go all the way up to some higher percentages the more income you make. I've never appreciated that. I've always thought that that was just, you know, progressive income tax was simply a way to get more money out of people who succeed. I think everybody should have a little bit of skin in the game, no matter how, you know, poor you're doing. But let's face it, this is America, and we have opportunities to climb that ladder and earn more money. And we shouldn't, you know, symbolically basically say, no, we're going to punish success. And it's the same thing on a corporate level, actually much worse, in my opinion. When you look at a chart of, especially in the South, but across the country, you know, corporate income tax rates, you know, we're pretty high. And it's the same thing where essentially we're punishing success. The better you do, the more money you bring in, the more percentage we're going to take from you. And I think in particular, corporate is a problem because corporations take that extra money. They don't put it in their pocket. They invest it in people. They invest it in equipment and capital. And, you know, they go hire somebody. And to me, that's what we need more than anything. I mean, outside of, like, you know, God and faith, the one thing that unites Louisiana is jobs, right? To me, it doesn't matter where you are in this thing. We need job growth in this state. And that's the only way we're going to get to a place where we can even consider eliminating an income tax.
One area for that job growth comes to us via the ports. You've got HB 581 taking a look at creating the Port Authority. Tell me all about this one, because the ports have been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, everybody needs to start this conversation with the understanding that ports are responsible for 1 in 5 jobs in Louisiana. It's 20%. This is our thing, so to speak, right? You know, like California's got internet and Hollywood and Silicon Valley, you know, that's their thing, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Texas has oil and gas. And while people would love to suggest Louisiana is based on oil and gas, it's not. It's actually ports and, you know, maritime logistics. So I've always been of the opinion, going back a decade or so, like Senator Conrad Appel, who's a leader on this issue, is that we can do a lot more, in my opinion. It really is our advantage to have the river, to have the intercoastal waterway, to have the Calcasieu ship channel. We've got to figure out a way to make that happen. And one of the problems is, okay, when you look at other states, because they have less ports or they have a more centralized type system, they're able to focus investment and draw people in, right? Whereas Louisiana is only investing $40 million a year in ports. You know, Texas is 1.1, Virginia is 1.3 billion, Mobile is half a billion. Like, we've got to compete with that, if anything, to protect our investments and protect our jobs, but even to really expand. And so my goal was to find a way to better organize how we do state involvement with ports. It does not consolidate any of the ports. It doesn't, you know, take away any type of investment. So, for example, we leave the Port Priority Program alone, but we kind of reorganize an office, call it a Port Authority, which is a common name you know, around the country, around the world for that matter, mm-hmm. you know, people would understand when you say a port authority, we put somebody in charge who is directly appointed by the governor. They're independent of DOTD and LED. And those two departments are super important to that, you know, to that part of our economy. So you need to have someone who can work with both of those departments. And then you move forward. And I'm thrilled to tell you, I mean, I don't know if you saw, but Congressman Garrett Graves came in on Monday and he actually, you know, spoke on behalf of the idea and committee. I was really proud to see that because I really appreciate his thinking on all this. And he's involved in transportation in D.C. So I don't know that this bill is going to pass and become law anytime soon. But my goal was to really kind of put a whole different model on the table and say, we can do this in a better way without even increasing cost, quite frankly. You know, that's the thing. We take the headcount out of DOTD and some other places and create this small office. It's a little more nimble. You know, it's not kind of stuck underneath the authority of some other department. That's the way I see it.
It's coming up for floor debate on Monday, so we will have an update in short order. In the meanwhile, we're just out of time for today. State Representative Mark Wright, I appreciate your time today.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You do the same.